It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Commissioner's Baltimore. What we got going on over there, Eddie?
A lot. That's the reason we're having Eric on this morning. Eric is a...
Eric
is author, former Marine, obviously. We know him. Mental toughness expert. That's what we're going to talk about. There's a lot going on in the world. Israel is fighting with Iran now openly. I don't know if you people know this, but there's a war in Ukraine. There's a lot,
in
the world. This election is just incredibly polarizing where people, you can't even talk to people. And Jeremy brought up the stress it brings upon people. So we just want to talk to Eric about how to deal with all this. Morning.
Hey, what's up, brother? Thanks for having me back, guys. I miss you guys, man.
Yeah, we always love having you on.
I hope I see you today.
Yeah, hopefully so, Jeremy. Makes my day, brother. Come on, man. I can't go without you.
You're like the nicest guy ever. Fishing for compliments over here.
Well, look, it's no secret. I mean, everyone is talking about this. People are actually worried about the election results because no matter who wins, they feel there's going to be civil unrest.
That's me.
I know. All right, then ask.
Well, no, I think no matter what happens in this election, let's say Kamala wins, it was stolen, we're dealing with all this, I think we get right back to a more aggressive public that we saw beforehand. And then the same thing, if Kamala loses, I think there's a lot of people out there. We'll see rioting and loot, like all this stuff that goes on. And again, no matter what happens, I think it's going to get ugly, Eric.
Here's the crazy thing. I think, Jeremy, if you just separate everything, remove names from the conversation, remove scenarios from the conversation, take all that off the plate, and just look at this as being a time where everyone is just at this hyper level of emotional well-being, right? Like, everybody's just so hyper-emotional. We cannot see facts anymore. This is what happens. We allow what we feel in our hearts to supersede. We see with our eyes. You know, it's like your caller earlier, the guy, Willie from Philly, I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Lamar Jackson, like how he's selfish, whatever. And it's like, the minute you – not to throw any shade on Willie, whatever. But, like, the minute you throw facts at somebody, like, their heart just can't see it, right? So it's like, we just live in this day and age right now where we latch on to whatever belief it is. Take politics off of it, whatever it is, your sports team, your what you believe, religion, whatever it is, you feel something so deeply in your heart, and the minute somebody produces a fact that conflicts with that, your brain just does not recognize it. It's like, there is no way possible this fact is accurate, because I felt this way for a very long time, and then double that with the inability to express our disagreements, right? We don't know how to tell somebody we disagree. We automatically default to anger. We automatically default to, I dislike you, I hate you, don't come to dinner at our house for Thanksgiving because you disagree with me. This is something our nation and our world has to get a whole lot better at.
What about ourselves? I mean, you know, I always say it's not how what people do to you, it's how you react to it. I mean, should people actually like know what triggers them, or, you know, kind of react differently to these people, because they're out there and people, it seems like people are looking for fights and families are getting like this. We are disinvited for the holidays, which to me is bizarre.
Yeah, it's like Cousin Eddie pulling up with the RV out front.
Yes, right.
It's like, here he comes. Yep. Like, you know what you're getting. Like, rub him on his belly, Clark. Election, rub him on his belly. Like, this is all just crazy, wild stuff. And I refer to this as responding versus reacting. like, as a society right now, we're just running through life reacting to situations. This is emotion-based. Okay, so we're emotional creatures, hardwired to feel first and think later. When something happens to us, innately, we react to it. This is emotion-based. It's we react to it based on prior situations, how we feel about this person, how our day is going, if we're having a good or bad day. We react emotionally. The objective is to learn to respond. And when we respond, what we do is we process information logically, so then we're able to formulate a response that's more appropriate for the situation, as opposed to flying off the handle. And right now, we just have a nation that's emotionally intoxicated. We don't have the ability to think logically. And when emotion runs high and logic runs low, we say things we don't mean. We do things we don't want to do. We ruin relationships. We ruin sales. It can be very detrimental to our relationships and our internal well-being. These are all things, as a nation, we have to develop this emotional vocabulary, I call it, how to deal with things that we don't like to hear.
And how do you do that? I mean, how do you do this yourself? You say you're a 50-year-old man, a 45-year-old man, or 70-year-old man, a woman. How do you do this after you've lived your life this whole way? How do you actually get this stuff in check?
Yeah, so this is a process. These are two of the biggest words in my language. I have no idea how to spell them, but I can tell you it's called systematic desensitization. In the world of psychology, it's also known as what's called graduated exposure therapy. So what you do is you put yourself in these situations until you just become, I don't use the word numb to them, but you just become so used to it. To use a sports analogy, right? You take a field goal kicker and put him on the practice field in the 20-yard line, give him 20 snaps, laces in, laces out, wind blowing, good snap, bad snap. He'll make that field goal every single time. Put him in the game. It's now 1 second left on the clock, down by 2 points. In the Super Bowl, he shanks the kick. Like, why did he shank the kick? So the way you get over that, doink, the way you get, I just learned doink, by the way. I'm not a sports guy, I learned doink. I'm like, what's doink? So the way you get over this is to consistently, time and time and time again, put yourself in those situations. It's like dieting. If you're going to eat at someone's house, you're dieting. You don't want to eat bad. So what do? You prepare. You go into this. You eat before you go to the party. You prepare for it. So to answer your question, Ed, mentally we put ourselves in these situations, understand what triggers us, know the words, know the phrases, know the people that are going to trigger us, that are going to get us that, in that emotional state, and then prepare for it. In our brain, prepare for when this word is said, when this phrase is said, when this person says they're voting for that person. Understand that we cannot react emotionally. We have to respond logically.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy that we react at all about who somebody votes for. Eric Rittmeyer from LifeMed Institute. Eric, thanks a lot for your time, man. Tell folks in Baltimore about LifeMed Institute.
Appreciate you, Rob. Yeah, this is, we are Wellness Center, Concierge Wellness Center. You know, I love the emotional piece, the emotional intelligence, critical thinking, objective reality. I'm now more obsessed with the physical aspect of it. We help people with blood draws, getting all their levels checked, all their hormones checked. Our medical director is a cardiologist. You get an hour with one of our providers. This is just amazing. We're getting ready to open our sixth location up right outside Philly. Come see me, Willie. So we're going to our sixth location. So we're just, it's great. You guys have been awesome for us. Thank you. There's always somebody coming in talking about you guys and how much they love your show. So can't thank you enough, man.
Yeah, but do they talk about Rob and Ed too?
They talk about all the above, you know. Okay. Now, Jeremy, the things they say are a little bit different when they're talking about you, which is okay. Difference, okay. But you know, talk. You know
what I mean?
We love the relationship with you guys. We love you guys, obviously, and thank you. And you know, just an awesome, love what you guys do.
Thank you very much, Eric. Appreciate that.
Have a great day, guys.
Same,
thanks
for having me. 410-583-1057. Barbershop topic of the day at 7:30, but on the other side, the Maryland Terps basketball team opened up their season a week from today. The men do. Do you think this year Kevin Willis' team can break through to be a Big Ten contender? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
We're a work in progress right now, which I like. You know, I'm not sure what we are. I like this group, but I'm not sure if we're going to be a great defensive team, or we're just going to be a team that runs up and down and jacks it up, because we do have some guys that like to play fast. And so we're definitely a work in progress right now. I don't know what we are.
That's Kevin Willett, Maryland's men's basketball coach. That's about a week ago from Maryland Media Day. They open up against Manhattan on the 4th, a week from today. And then it's at home. Then Mount St. Mary's, Florida A&M, before taking on Marquette as well. The number 18 team in the country. So they get three pretty decent tune-up style games before facing one of the big boys, Marquette, Canisius, and then Villanova. So the first part of the schedule before they have their first conference game, which will be on the 4th of December, You got Marquette, you got Villanova. Other than that, Manhattan, Mount St. Mary's, Florida A&M, Canisius, Bucknell, Alcorn State.
I think, Marquette, you got to see what they look like after, you know, the loss of what I thought was the guy that carried that team. I just blanked on his name. Whew, doing radio live. How about that? the white kid that they got drafted. So, like, I wonder what they're going to look like. But again, what are Maryland fans' expectations for the Terps now? I mean, are we still back? You got to get into the tournament, win a couple games. Is it the year after that? You got to get to, you know, the Elite Eight or Final Four. Like, where are you with expectations for this team since joining the Big Ten? It's been a whole lot of, is just okay fine to say? Hasn't been anything great past 15 years.
You know, season opens Monday.
Wow.
I can't believe it's here already.
I'm glad something's here. Football's been awful this year.
I couldn't think of his name either. Is it Tyler Kolek?
Tyler Kolek.
I couldn't think of his name either. I knew exactly who you're talking about because they had a special on him before the draft. He fell.
Can I tell you my problem? It's basketball, and I keep getting two white guys. I wanted to say Dalton Knecht, and he's the kid that's on the Lakers from Tennessee.
Yes.
Another good player that they really like.
Was drafted ahead of Bronny, but nobody knew about because all the questions went to Bronny.
Yeah. Even though the other, you know, Knecht's going to play way more than Bronny, so yeah. Whatever.
But yeah, I mean, you're looking at the schedule. I mean, this, they look like they could have at least a 6-2 record hitting into. I think they beat Villanova. I'm just saying, it looks like out of the first 8 games, only 2 of them are really going to be competitive.
Yeah, I don't know how good Nova's going to be. I mean, since Jay Wright left, they've been okay. Man. Yeah. So again, like if they get off to a good start, they have talent on this team, and we've seen this before. Like no matter what you think of Kevin Willard, he's put together good teams and smaller conferences too. He's been able to recruit at schools that aren't one of the Power 5, Power 4 now.
This is his third year, right?
Yes.
You know what this looks like to me?
What?
This looks like a guy who's trying to keep his contract going. Look at his non-conference schedule. He's
got an easier one.
Oh, this is self-preservation, my friend. This is self-preservation. I don't know if he's in the final year of his contract. He signed a 7-year deal, so he's not in the final year. But look at his non-conference schedule: Manhattan, Mount St. Mary's, Florida A&M, Canisius, Villanova, Bucknell, Alcorn State, St. Francis of Pennsylvania. Oh, and University of Maryland, Eastern Shore.
So, well, hey, look.
He needs to stack up some wins.
You can't lose to one of those teams.
When you go 16-17, you got to stack up. Because at the end, out of the 33 games last year, what was his non-conference games? Exactly. You just know he went 16-17.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins 25, 26 games this year,
everybody's talking about who he
next
beat.
Year, when we talk about it, hey, they won 26 games. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Do you think they're – so now with the advancements of the Big Ten, new teams joining, what UCLA, what USC, what Oregon looks like, all three of them have been decent basketball, you know, decent basketball teams. So I'm wondering what that brings to the Big Ten. And
UCLA
how
is ranked.
Yeah.
Preseason anyway.
They're pretty good too. If I remember correctly, they played UCLA last year pretty good.
It was in Christmas, right around Christmas.
It was 169-60, that's right.
Yeah, they beat them.
Yeah, they played them pretty well.
Well, because we were talking about that, and I asked him about going out to that gym and what that means to him when we had Kevin Willard on last year. And he brought it up and talked about the nostalgia of playing there, and but he was more focused on, he gave the coach speak a little bit, mm-hmm. Got to get out there and play hard. Have the whispers started on him, in your opinion?
Willard?
Yeah.
They will this year. That's why the schedule is what it is. That's just my, again, opinion.
Yeah.
If he goes 16-17 again this year, yeah, I think people will start talking.
And by the way, I don't see, my big thing with the tournament, I don't see anything wrong with beating up on these smaller schools and improving your schedule because you play in the Big Ten. Like, it's nice. Here's what I want from the Terps. Set up your, and I hate calling them cupcakes, but that's what it is. They're cupcakes. You're not supposed to lose these teams. Everybody brings it up when you pay somebody to come to your house and they beat your ass and take your cash. We've seen it happen before. Hell, who just did it to, Towson did it to, was it Indiana? Mm-hmm. Not that long ago? Maybe it was longer ago. But point is that you look at setting up that schedule. If you're going to play tough teams within your conference and you're going to play in one or two of these tournaments, Maui Invitational, where you'll face a couple of good teams, I'm stacking up smaller schools.
I mean, this is something I thought. First of all, how much of a hand does Damon Evans have in the schedule?
Very little.
Very little?
Really?
ADs, no, you kind of set up, well, put it this way. It depends on his contract. a lot of coaches have in their contract that they have say over who they play. You have a budget. If you are a power five, power six in basketball school, you have a budget on how much you pay teams to come in. So you choose that budget based on opponents. Mm-hmm. But I'll put it this way. When I was D3, there were schools that invited us in for scrimmages. Those were calls you got from the coach. You didn't get those calls from the AD. And I think some of the top coaches, they're probably have a hand in their schedule.
Because like, when Loxley was on, we kidding around, and Jeremy was joking about the having the USC for homecoming. He said, well, I don't pick homecoming.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm asking. And it seems like something that they always do anyway. Most teams seem to load up the beginning of schedule with easy opponents and then get the conference schedule later.
Well, homecoming is different. Number one, the school decides homecoming based on the festivities and activities that they have coming in. So that's what he means by he doesn't pick homecoming. So based on this is the week that we have all these things coming, so we're going to choose homecoming. Well, USC was playing that day anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's what he means by he doesn't choose. He doesn't. You don't choose homecoming. You know, you don't on any level, you don't choose homecoming. The school decides when homecoming is. Whatever opponent you're playing on that day, that's who you're playing. And he has no decision on when he's going to play USC anyway because that's a conference game. So I think that's probably what he means by he doesn't decide homecoming. 410-583-1057, that's the number. If you have your opinion on Willard, I think, Jeremy, I think in terms of are there whispers out there, I think this year is the year. Okay. The first year he went to the tournament, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of guys that he inherited.
We kept talking about he inherited these players.
He did a great job, I thought.
Yeah.
Because they didn't go to the tournament the year before.
Yeah, and then it was down.
And then down last year, 16 and 17. Okay, these are all your guys now. These are all your guys.
He's playing the game. I think they got more NIL money.
Reese is still there, though.
Yeah.
Okay, he has Reese. He inherited Reese. But, you know, rest of these guys are yours.
Yeah, I mean, he brought in a lot of these guys now, so there's, I don't want to say no excuses, but we'll see how it plays out. I do think he's a good coach, whether you like what he's done here or not. Everywhere I've seen him, he's been successful to, you know, it's your opinion on what you think success is, but I think he's been a very successful coach. I like him personally. I know I've talked to some other people like, I don't know about him or if he's the right guy. I loved him coming in when they called him the chiropractor because he makes adjustments.
Yes. No one, this area, man, no one is as good as manager as Earl Weaver was. No one is as good as Gary Williams was. That's just how it is. They're never going to get over guys that took them to the very top. That's just how it is. And I know Joe Altobelli was the last manager to win in this team, in the city, but it's Earl Weaver's team. And that's just how we are around here. Until somebody else does it, if Kevin Willard wins the national championship, then people will love him. Gary Williams won the national championship.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfair, but that's just how it is. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. As we move right along on this Wednesday, Anthony Richardson benched in Indianapolis for Joe Flacco. Your reaction to that. But on the other side, our barbershop topic of the day. Are you a fan of the trade for Johnson, Deontay Johnson, or does it feel like an unnecessary addition? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Just another presence at pass catcher down the field to help them out. They like the two tight end stuff with Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews, but this will enable them to have more variations on the formations they can use offensively, and they think that'll help Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson a great deal.
That's Dan Graziano from the NFL Network yesterday. NFL Live, I'm sorry. The Baltimore Ravens sent a fifth-round draft pick to the Carolina Panthers for Deontay Johnson. Now, Deontay Johnson was having a fairly decent season this year, being the number one receiver in Carolina. I would love to know his thoughts on going from being the number one there to maybe the number three here. Probably doesn't matter. You want to win. You have a chance to win here, not there. In seven games, 30 receptions, 357 yards, 12 yards a catch, three touchdowns. 20 of his 30 receptions were for first downs. That's a great average. Last year, his final year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 13 games, 51 receptions. Why did the Steelers trade him? Was he the receiver that didn't?
Oh, they were fighting all the time. Yeah. For a while there, he had all those drops, and he was complaining about his targets. That's why, like, if you wanted to look at a negative, does he come in with that same attitude? And what Rob said, I was just thinking about this. And I want people to understand what I'm saying. Do the Ravens have a number one wide receiver? And I think Zay is a talented. Yeah. He's the one guy that you know is going to get targets. But on any given day, we could see Likely get 7 targets. Deontay get 10. You know, 2 to Bateman. Next week, 10 to Bateman. That's what I like
Lamar
about
Lamar doesn't discriminate.
No. He's selfish, but he doesn't discriminate.
Could you please give people the reference so you won't get tied to that?
Somebody called in earlier and asked if we thought Lamar was selfish. Because he doesn't give Derrick Henry the ball enough. He only got it 11 times last week, to which we replied, you can't give it to him while he's on the sideline. What makes him selfish? And then the guy said, yeah, I think he's selfish. I was like, all right, well, whatever. What are we doing here?
So do you think this was a necessary move, Ed, or was it an unnecessary act?
I don't think it was necessary. I think it's a luxury. I think it's nice to have him. Makes the team better. But I don't think it was a necessary move. I think, you know, I think pass rusher at corner is necessary. Those are necessary moves right now. Now interior line is necessary. You had to be banged up by injuries. I mean, there's others I would have seen. But look, you got them for, a bag of balls, essentially.
Was it necessary for me to drink my own urine? No, but I like it.
It's a luxury.
And it's sterile. Sorry, there you go. Dodgeball. Don't you think this makes it? So just looking at one aspect of the game, people had always said, can Lamar bring them back when they're trailing? Mm-hmm. If you go 5 wide here with either 4 wide receivers, including Aguilar and a tight end, or go 3 wide, 2 tight ends, this is without Derrick Henry on the field, obviously. So you got your set of 5 wide receivers, and you need to go down the field in a minute? You're going to tell me you don't like this group that they have together?
Yeah, let me add something else to that. Well, screw a minute. I mean, we just messed around with the guy from Philly. But the Ravens go without Derrick Henry a lot early in the game. Mm-hmm. This is a second quarter option, not just a minute left of the game option.
Sure.
This is an option at any time.
I'm talking Derek, about two-minute offense.
And I agree with that, but my point also is I think this is where the Ravens are moving, Jeremy. I think they're moving towards that type of offense during the game with or without Derrick Henry. I do, because they've shown the desire to rest him at times. I think they like the games where they could only give him 15 carries for 80 to 90 yards and let him rest. I think they want that option.
The more and more I look at this, I don't know why anybody's complaining outside of the fact they didn't make a move for a defensive player.
I'm not complaining at all. I love it.
Because
I didn't understand it at first. And I
did the same thing you did.
I said that on the text. I didn't understand it at first. And then I started looking into it like, no, man, I get this. I like this.
Yeah. The other thing is, I was waiting to get my tires done yesterday, and I'm talking to the dude at Sam's Club about this, like, hey, going back and forth, because the trade came down right when I was buying them. He goes, they did what? That don't make any sense. And then the more and more I looked at it, I'm going, well, it's an improvement. You really didn't give up much, like hardly anything. And then on top of it, they're covering most of the salary. So what's bad about this at all?
And you get an experienced punt returner.
It's like...
He returns the ball 2/3 of the time. Mm-hmm. He rarely fair catches.
So
I mean, I think that's another thing, that there's another perk.
And I'll say this, and I said it earlier for those of you who missed it. What if Eric DaCosta is combing this, you know, look, doing his due diligence, which you know he is. But what if he's seeing, man, the chances of me getting the defender that matters, that makes a difference, is getting slimmer and slimmer. Maybe I ought to fortify the offense, make it even more potent. That way, we can win shootouts. I got to make the team better somehow. If I can't make my defense better, maybe make my offense great. Maybe that's what he's looking at right now. Is this the final move? May not be.
Nah.
But right now, I don't know. I can't guarantee it's not or is.
I think the offense is already great.
Nobody can. I don't believe it is, though.
I think this is part of him looking out there and seeing, man, those options aren't great. This is the best option that I have to make this team better. Not everyone is a fan of this. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN talked about why this might not be that great for the Ravens.
His addition more about Rashawn Bateman and maybe playing for Bateman, mm-hmm. or is it going to be to take one of those tight ends off the field or recall?
Come on, Dan.
To sit here and say, like, hey, this will help us run the football better, you're the number one rush team in the NFL. Your play-action game is absolutely off the charts. You're unbelievably difficult to match up with. I mean, just look at this. I know they don't run a lot of 11 personnel. They are one of the best offenses in the league. And so my concern throughout this whole process has been, if they add a wide receiver, is it for depth or is it to change the identity or philosophy of their offense? If that's the case, I don't think that's the best thing for their offense. Remember, you only get 11. You don't get to play with 12. And last year, this offense that was really good at times tried to get too cute in the game that mattered the most. That's all I'm saying.
I love Dan Orlovsky. I do. Yeah. But this has nothing to do with Bateman. This is Aguilar.
But his last line was spot on. By getting too cute at the wrong times.
Yeah, but that wasn't their identity. I don't think this team has the same identity as last year's team, offensively.
I don't know what Dan's talking about. It has nothing to do with Bateman here.
Nothing.
You have Bateman locked up for extra years. Mm-hmm. You're not paying anything for this. It's a smaller trade. It's a minimal trade for the Ravens to better your team, and especially if he returns punts. You lost your kick returner for the season in Hardy, and now maybe this is something where he's Rob said he doesn't fair catch much, but sure-handed. Yeah, well, you did. Sorry. Yeah. But the point is, when you hear Dan Orlovsky go, well, I don't know if this is a director, you're going to mess up the offense. How many receivers play every snap on the field? There's a rotation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think this is more about Aguilar. Aguilar played 48% of the team's offensive snaps this year. Well, I don't think he's going to play 48% of the snaps moving forward. I think this is more about Nelson Aguilar than it is Rashad Bateman. I think he complements what Bateman and Zay Flowers does. I think he's a better version of what Nelson Aguilar does.
You know what this does? This makes your tight ends even more dangerous.
Yes.
Now you have more guys that can get down the field with speed, get separation, and with the deep ball, what does it open up? The middle of the field.
World of Stupid at 8:15, but on the other side, we want to hear from you. Are you a fan of the trade for Diontae Johnson, or does it feel like an unnecessary addition? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Diontae Johnson is a man-to-man beater. He is an incredible route runner, right? And so what that means when you're sending whatever on third down, if you're in 11 personnel, even if you're in two receiver sets, I think it turns out to be Zay Flowers on one side and Diontae Johnson on the other. And yes, Lamar Jackson makes those plays. He buys time. He gets throws on the field to the guys that he has. But that's not ideal. I want to be able to drop back, a guy get open immediately and get rid of the football. Diontae Johnson provides that outlet.
That's Andrew Hawkins from NFL Live yesterday on this trade. Are you a fan of the trade for Diontae Johnson, or does it feel unnecessary? Let's go to Greg in Baltimore. Good morning to you, Greg.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, yeah, I'm definitely a fan. But, I mean, for one, this is a win-win. Like, at worst, the Ravens drop maybe like 15 picks back from, you know, the end of the fifth round to the beginning of the sixth round. So you don't really need something. But, I mean, like, all this trade really does is just fortifies what you already have. So, like, I think the problem with guys like Dan or so forth is they're looking at it like, because Chiefs made a trade for number one, Bills made a trade for their number one, that people are looking at it like Diontae Johnson was only going to be traded to a team that needed receiver, like the Texans, like the Chiefs. Texans or the Niners. But
Diontae Johnson right now is better than DeAndre Hopkins, as crazy as that sounds.
right now.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is not a number one wide receiver anymore. He's good. He's still good. But he's no longer Hop. We saw this happen to AJ Green. We saw this happen to. So
why wasn't he traded to one of those teams that needs a number one receiver then?
Who, Deontay Johnson?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why we're sitting here talking. Maybe people didn't know he was available at this price tag because they literally gave up nothing to get him.
Yeah. Let's go to Hubie in Baltimore. What's up, Hubie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
I'm taking the 50 on this one. I wouldn't care one way or another because I thought they would go out and try to solidify the safety position on defense or the interior line. And speaking of Joe Flacco, he's a better game manager than Richardson.
Let me go back for something, Hubie. You got to make me understand something, bro. You on hold for 20 minutes. You waited for 20 minutes to tell us you ain't care?
You waited
20 minutes, Hubie, to tell us you did not care.
Let me say something to that. I just thought they would look at a better need. I mean,
well, it's not over yet, though, Hubie. Yeah. I mean, they have till Tuesday.
So. It doesn't matter. You waited 20 minutes to tell us we. Come on, man. That's like the people, you post something on Facebook, they say, well, who cares? Why are you commenting you don't care?
I understand, Hubie, though. There's a lot of things I don't care about.
Yeah, but you'll call used to be. And wait 20 yeah. minutes to tell me?
Well, the thing I don't like about, like, this isn't, the trade deadline's not over, and that's the only move they made. If this became available, and understanding, it's like, again, this is a terrible comparison. When the Orioles traded for Eloy Jimenez, they gave up nothing, okay? You got Eloy Jimenez, who became nothing, but you gave up nothing, so it didn't hurt you at all, right? So with this trade, you're making a move that you think will better your wide receiving core. There's no, like, if you look at the difference between Nelson Aguilar and Deontay Johnson as far as separation goes and what they can do on a football field, it's, I mean, one's way better than the other one and their ability. Plus, you're adding more speed to an offense that already has probably the most speed in the league.
But the difference is, I get the Eloy Jimenez comparison. I get that because they gave up nothing. But Eloy Jimenez was doing nothing when they traded for him. This guy is actually still productive. Well, so that's they're giving up nothing for a guy that can still produce.
It's just a matter of people complaining that you added something that, because you didn't add something else yeah. that they wanted.
Yeah, but it's not over. It's my point. It's like, it's call it, Wednesday and complain that they did
and
nothing.
And if it is over, guess what? It's still a better football team.
Yeah, because you don't know what was offered. You don't know what the trade partners are asking for.
It's still a better team right now. Mark in Baltimore. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you.
I'm with you. I think this move makes what we already do better. And it also, you know, we're not all of a sudden going to become the 1990 St. Louis Rams. You know, this notion that we can't add better talent at wide receiver without changing our philosophy, to me, is stupid. If they do decide to play three wide, you know, it also allows you to put Zay Flowers in the slot versus Bateman's not a slot guy.
I don't know about Zay Flowers in that slot, Mark.
I like him all over the field. You can put him anywhere.
Yeah.
You can put him anywhere. Like, you don't – the whole traditional speedster, smaller receiver in the slot, that's gone by the wayside. Yeah. You've seen veterans kind of find and finish out their career playing out of the slot. Anquan Boldin did that a lot. I think that's not something like – looking at this team and talking about going three wide, they've been going three wide all year long.
They have
the third receiver's been Nelson Aguilar.
This is that's the thing. Nelson Aguilar played 48% of the team's possible downs. This is more about him, in my opinion. Let's go to Laurel and get Quinn. What's up, Quinn?
So I think that – good morning, guys, first.
Morning.
So I think that adding Deontay Johnson is like adding OBJ. I think he's like a replacement for OBJ. I think putting him on a team – you know what I mean? It's basically like that. We're adding a kick returner with OBJ on the team. I mean, they lost him, and I think that he's a good replacement for that. And so I think that that's a good move. I think they definitely need to get a safety and probably some interior offensive line help just to help with the depth there. But, yeah, man, I think that was a good move.
Thank you very much. It was a great move, in my opinion. Let's go to Rick in Bel Air. What's up, Rick?
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
I just want to say I like the trade, but here's my one concern.
Go ahead.
Aguilar was somebody that, at least in my eyes, Lamar looked to in key moments, third down, fourth down, and they needed to pick up a first. And I remember all the ones he made. I will admit I probably forget the ones he didn't make. But there's the comfort level of quarterback has in receiver.
Grandma's got you. Rick, what did you just say? Go back and say what you just said.
about Aguilar.
The Gremlins got your phone.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine started.
Let's go to Tim in Delaware. What's up, Tim?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Listen, I believe that the Johnson trade is significant. And the reason I say so is that I think that the reason that they made that trade is because, looking back on Sunday's game, Bateman sealed that trade when that drop passed.
It wasn't a drop. You know? He fell and his son got in his eyes and hit him in the damn face mask. They didn't trade for a receiver because that one play happened when he slipped and the son got in his eyes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be like, it's just, it's not a cause and effect thing. It's like going to the grocery store and you're going there to get milk and you're like, oh, damn, eggs are on sale, and you grab eggs. That's what just happened with Deontay Johnson. I think they were fielding calls on everything, found out he was available, what he was available for. They're like,
I said, why not?
Are you kidding me? This is that? You want to trade fifth and sixth? So you're just going to. Somebody said if the season finishes the way you expect with the Ravens being good and obviously the Panthers being extremely bad, it might be 10 spots in the draft.
I find it funny to use a food analogy because when I was thinking about this, I was like, it's like looking because you need a pair of shoes for work and they don't have it, but they have these. Look at these sneakers.
Of course you take it to fashion.
I swear to you, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I take it, my fat ass took it to food and you took it to fashion.
Let's go to Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Happy hump day, guys.
Happy hump day.
Where does new Ravens wide receiver Dante Johnson fit in the offense? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. I think, again, he replaces a guy. He takes some stats from a guy who played about 48% of the team's offensive snaps. He may play a little bit more than 48%. I think the one person, a wide receiver on this team that should be nervous is Nelson Aguilar.
But he's still going to play, too.
He's going to play, too.
But I
think you're going to take some snaps from him.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some snaps coming from two tight end sets, depending on what personnel they want to run. And again, I think you've made yourself very dangerous in a two-minute and a four-minute offense. Now, 4 minute, you're still going to have Derrick Henry out there at times. But when you're trying to speed things up, you could have Justice Hill in the backfield. Or you can go, okay, you see what the Bills do when they go 4 and 5 wide? You go 5 wide, and Lamar he's basically a running back there, but they could pick the team apart because he can take off, too. And if you go man-to-man against 5 wide, good night, because he's going to run all over you.
World Series recap at 8:30, but on the other side, Anthony Richardson benched in Indianapolis for Joe Flacco. We'll tell you why up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.